Archbishop Fulton Sheen, who was a tremendous preacher, had this to say when people would sometimes come up to him and say, "You are a very holy man." And he said this, "You know I speak of holy things. You do not know whether or not I am a holy man." Today, the readings, I think, present to us something that's critically important for us. Whether or not who we say we are becomes manifest in who we really are. There is a joke that's told about a person who begins the day with prayer and says, "Dear God, I am so grateful, for today I have not sinned. I have not spoken uncharitably to anyone. I have been generous and not been selfish with what you have given me. But I'm going to get out of bed now, and I need your help." We get a picture today of what it means when people live authentically. And this is really important for us because the gospel assures us that we are to share the good news. We are to share with others who we are, what we believe, and to present to them the great gift that Jesus wishes to give them, namely salvation. But we know that for all of us, "Are we who we say we are?" can only be answered by no. Because sometimes we sin. At least I know I do. Maybe all of you have arrived at the point of conversion where you are not a sinner. Maybe you were at one time, but you have so accepted Jesus into your hearts that you do not sin anymore. But for me, I know that that's not true. So, we know that we are not who we say we are some of the time, but are we who we say we are in what Aristotle would describe the habitus of our life, namely, the way in which we live that has become so ingrained in us that we don't even need to think about it anymore. He would say, for example, that if you want to be honest, the way to get the virtue or the habitus of honesty is to repeatedly be honest. And when we do that, it becomes part of who we are. We can even say and describe ourselves, "I am honest," because it's so closely connected to our self-identity. We know that we need the grace of God to be authentic. Now, it's a very confusing time in the world because there are a lot of ways that we can find Christians demonstrating what it means to believe. For some, it is the case that Jesus is like a teddy bear that a little child has, or if you remember the comic strip Calvin and Hobbes, the little tiger he carried around with him. We can see Jesus in that way. Never demanding, always forgiving, always asking us to do very little, really. Simply to make us feel better about ourselves. Conversely, there are those Christians who sometimes seem more preoccupied with the sins of others than the sinfulness in themselves. They see a particular problem in the world or a particular way of being, and they're very harsh. Not unlike the Pharisee who was in the temple praying, thanking God that he wasn't made like the poor publican in the back, who was the one that went home with the gift of salvation. And the hope that we have is powerful indeed. You know, the sisters are on retreat this week, and All this week, we're going to be looking at various understandings of hope. Hope is not wishful thinking. Hope is, in fact, the belief that we share, the attitude that we have, that we can be saved. That God, in fact, has saved us. And our readings today give us two pictures of what that means. In the first reading, we get a picture of just how amazing heaven is. Just how amazing it is when we're saved. You know, we can be tempted to think of heaven as a giant family reunion. That does not seem desirable to me, to be honest. I suspect that you have a family like mine where there are some I like and there are some that they're not so easy to get along with. It's far more than that. Now, I can't tell you what it is because the scriptures don't tell us much, actually, about what heaven is. We get some hints, we get some glimpses, but all we really know for certitude is that we will see Jesus, and especially in Eastern theology, we will become divinized. We will become like God more fully than we are here on earth. Meister Eckhart was very strong in talking about how we would be God because we are in God's presence, and we will be completely fulfilled with perfect contentment, that everything we have will be perfectly wonderful in what we are and experience. And thanks be to God, since I'm not always good at exercise or eating in a healthy way, we'll have a glorified body. So it will be absolutely fulfillment. And Isaiah tries to describe in understandable ways what it means for people to be in the presence of God and to be saved. We are to rejoice. You know, I look around sometimes at Christians, and I'm not judging them, I'm just making an observation, but they don't look very happy. They don't look like people who are filled with joy. In fact, sometimes they look downright angry. And is it tempting or enticing for us to see the faith if people always look angry? Rejoice. And we hear this a lot. Paul says it in his letter to the Philippians, there should be a joy that is in our life. We know we probably could be joyful were it not for those struggles and difficulties that we have in our lives. In his letter to the Galatians, Paul makes a very interesting challenge. May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I don't know about you, but everything I know about the crucifixion is that it would be hard to boast in that because I, quite honestly, do not tolerate pain very well. A paper cut can really annoy me. But what is Paul getting at? He's getting at the fact that what the cross of Jesus maintains for us is a death to the things of the world. And when we read the things of the world, it is not to say that we shouldn't enjoy creation or the things that we experience in our life. Created things are always good. That includes us. It is good that we exist. Because everything that exists can only exist because of God, and God creates everything out of love. But we know that there are elements of the world, when we use that phrase, that are not to be imitated. Greed. We live in a world where we see greed all around us. The desire for violence. I read recently that there are more open conflicts in the world right now than at any point since 1946. We simply can't get along as human beings. We know that we're not always willing to share, even when we have abundance. But Paul says it is not in external things that our salvation is wrought. It's not even in certain internal things. It is only in the fact that we have become a new creation. And when did that happen? Well, of course, it happened at our baptism. We were made a new creation. And it is in that great gift and outpouring of Jesus that the new creation we have become is the reason we can boast, as Paul says elsewhere, even in our afflictions. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers and sisters. Amen.